podcasts. It's like radio, but it's not on the radio.
There's everything that we thought he could do. He runs really, really hard. He runs violent. He's angry when he runs, and he's tough to bring down with that first defender.
And David Montgomery, the third round pick, is in for his first NFL touchdown.
What a stutter step to bounce it outside.
WGN Radio presents Hogan Johns.
The blitz from Roquan Smith, and down goes Allen. Five of those in his rookie season last year.
With WGN's Adam Hogue.
Yes! We celebrate an excellence tonight.
And from The Athletic.
Put your hands together for the one and only
Adam Johns.
And Elijah Holyfield puts it in for a touchdown, and the Panthers take the lead.
Here they are, the Adams.
Go Bears!
Hogan Johns.
Touchdown Bears!
Preseason number one in the books.
Hooray!
No. I actually enjoyed it.
Come on, you lie. You're lying.
I did.
Your nose is growing.
No. David Montgomery looked good.
He did.
That was a story. I thought Mitch Trubisky looked outstanding on all three of his handoffs. I have a full breakdown on theathletic.com in a couple days.
Great fundamentals. Yes. Got himself in a lather.
Yeah, I know there's some things to talk about. The kicking competition. Welcome in. This is the Hogan Johns, our first post-game episode of the 2019 season. I'm not going to lie. I can't promise we're going to do these every preseason game. We normally don't in the past, but the way it lined up with our last podcast being Monday, we've been doing them on Thursdays. It worked out perfectly tonight. So here's a podcast for you after this preseason game. Bears and Panthers. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Hogue, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. That's where you can see tweets like when he killed four members of the defense tonight.
I did do that tonight.
You I forget who the players were, but you're like, you were trying to say their nights were over, and you worded it, their days should be over. Like, as in
it was Roquan Smith, dead. Ed Goldman, Bilal Nichols, and Ha-Ha Clinton Dix.
All right, well, I can confirm that all four of those
they were in the locker room.
Were in the locker room and alive.
Breathing and healthy.
After the
healthy.
Game.
Healthy.
You can read us WGNradio.com/BearsTheAthletic.com, the Athletic app. Please rate and review the podcast. We appreciate you doing that. So where do you want to start?
Kicking?
We could start with the kicking.
Why not?
Tonight's winner of the kicking competition, Joey Sly.
Come on, give it to my guy, Elliot Fry.
Carolina Panthers.
Who get out of here with that.
He hit from 42 and 55.
Hooray for Joey Sly.
Coming in,
it's not his real name, right?
And he's probably not going to be on the Panthers. I mean, they got Graham Gano. And Gano wasn't even kicking tonight, so it's not like that's a real competition. So then coming in second place, Kari Vedvik from the Baltimore Ravens.
I heard that guy had an awful training camp going.
Did he? I have no idea.
He's just a game time machine.
He's also,
the lights on.
He also was 3 for 3 tonight with a 55-yarder. And I checked his Wikipedia page in the middle of the game because I didn't know much about this guy, Kari Vedvik. This is according to Wikipedia.
Reliable source.
Kari Vedvik is a Norwegian professional American football kicker for the Baltimore Ravens of the National Football League, soon to be traded to the Chicago Bears of the same league. He is the he is the future savior of Chicago, and from the ashes of Cody Parkey, he will rise to lead the city to glory and replace Walter Payton as the greatest player in team history. He played college football at Marshall. That's the best part.
That's what the internet was created for. That's great. Did you tweet that yet?
Yes, I did.
That's fantastic.
Oh, and that's honest to God. I checked Wikipedia, and like at the top of his page, there was like a warning, and it was like, this page may soon be deleted. Like, and there was like a list of reasons, and I was like, okay, that's weird. And then I started reading the page, and I was like, oh. So I immediately screenshotted it and tweeted it.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Well done, whoever did that.
Yeah, whoever did that. That's
quite the wordsmith.
Okay, so he comes in second place tonight. In third place is Elliot Fry, who did convert on his 43-yard field goal. He gets bonus points for being a
43-yarder, north end zone, and iced. Thank you, Ron Rivera.
Ron Rivera said after the game that he did that on purpose.
That's
to
fantastic.
Help the Bears.
That's great. Gentleman's deal.
And Nagy,
once a Bear, always a Bear.
Well, Nagy claimed it wasn't like an agreement between them. Like, Rivera may have done that on his own.
Yeah. Well, right. Rivera's a smart man.
Well, I joked with Nagy when he got off the podium that I thought he was going to ice Elliott Fry, but he had no timeouts left.
Yeah, that would have been good.
Why not? Ice your own kicker during the preseason. Let's see what you can do.
But he passed the Cody Parkey test. It wasn't the right hash mark, but it was the same north end zone, 43 yards, iced a kicker.
Yeah, that's not just a joke. Like, honestly, I mean, this is the same team that had these guys purposely kicking from 43 back in OTA.
Correct.
Like, that's a significant number, and that just happened to be where the field goal was.
Correct.
That was pretty cool.
So I should just win our bet right now.
I am here to make the argument that this is the most entertaining preseason game I've covered in 9 years.
Were you here when Michael Ford wild? I'm trying to think of other preseason memories.
I mean, there was the one time that Marvin Lewis like kept ramming Andy Dalton's head into his own offensive line when he's running quarterback sneaks in Cincinnati. That was entertaining.
My man, we were here when John Fox took out Mitch Trubisky, put back in Mitch Trubisky.
That was entertaining, though. That was just
baffling. That was just, yeah. But that was a level of some form of entertainment.
All right, and then coming in fourth Clown place Joe. In the kicking competition tonight was Eddie Pinheiro, who missed, where is he at again? 48-yarder. No good, wide left. Didn't look good off his foot right away. Johns didn't like the ball flight. He let out a groan in the press box while the ball was floating in the air.
Did you hear me?
No, I just made that part up. But you probably
Well, my new seat's only two away from you now.
I know.
You
can
probably hear my groans and moans.
This is a big development for the podcast. That you are now sitting over closer to me.
Yes.
I mean, it sucks.
Separated by Chris Emma.
Yeah, there may have been some...
A pleasant, cheery buffer.
Some complaints filed about that part. But you're down by me now.
Yes, we are.
That's pretty good.
We got a visitor.
Yeah, we got visitors in here. It happens here in Soldier Field post-game.
Yes, it does. The room is clean. Maybe not even used today, but...
Maybe not. This is a preseason game. All right, so in all seriousness, Elliott Fry... It's one kick, but it's the preseason. This has been neck and neck. I would say that your guy, Elliott Fry, has pulled...
My guy, Elliott Fry. I like the ring of that.
Well, you got him in the bet. I got Pinheiro, and your guy pulled ahead tonight.
I believe you guys were mocking me in the press box before the game for sticking with my guy, Elliott Fry.
Well, because you put in your story that he was winning the competition. Now he is. Now, if you wrote that tonight, I'd be like, okay.
Call me Kreskin. Absolutely. Nailed that one, huh?
Now, here's what's interesting to me about... There won't be another game here until the last week in August. So there's going to be plenty of time before these guys kick here again.
Correct.
And I think it matters a little bit more kicking in this building.
Absolutely, yes.
So for Eddie Pinheiro, who did come back and
Robbie Gould used to say, like, the sight lines here used to mess with your... alignment, I guess. And
right.
You have to key on different things in the stadium.
What was the second one that Pinheiro made? 23 yards? Is that right? I don't know. This is cut off. Yes, 23 yards. That doesn't even count. That's shorter than an extra point.
No. That didn't even look good either.
I didn't check the ball flight on that one. I guess I'll watch it on tape.
The director, you will not watch it on tape?
Probably not. I don't think we get the all 22 in the preseason.
I don't believe we do.
Sucks. I wish we did. All right. Another thing that I thought really mattered tonight. Everything that these guys have said about David Montgomery has come true.
And he's a good player.
You were beating the drum during the offseason
program. I tweeted that I was beating the drum.
And I didn't disagree with you at all. I just wanted to wait to see it, too, with pads on. And boy, he delivered with that run the other day in Bourbonnais when he ran over the entire defense. That was incredibly impressive in a live session. And then tonight, I mean, that's what you want to see from... I keep wanting to call him the first-round pick. He's not. That's the amazing
thing. Pick, yeah.
He is their first-round pick, but he's not even a first-round pick. He's a third-round pick. And, man, if... I know I don't really talk fantasy on this podcast, but if I'm like a fantasy football owner, I'm like circling tonight. Like, I
absolutely
find a way to get that guy in my draft.
Touches. That's a mid-round steal waiting to happen.
Would you play him the rest of the preseason?
Yes.
You would?
I would play, well, because you know Trubisky's going to get a little work in the next one.
I don't know. We're going to play Matt Nagy here in a little bit. The last question to Matt Nagy was, would you be comfortable if Mitch Trubisky's next pass in a game came in September?
Ooh, that's a very well-phrased question.
It was a very... I'll give Dan Weider from the Chicago Tribune credit for that. It was a nice question.
Yes.
Because he didn't really leave Nagy much of an out.
Yes.
And he paused and he said, yes, very emphatically. That doesn't mean he's not going to play in New York.
Well, now that I know that, but I don't think he will.
You know, part of the
reason... So last year he had 40 snaps in the preseason. 10 in the first or the second, whatever way you want to look at it. The second of five. And then he played 30 in the Denver game. And that was it. Then came the sitting of the dress rehearsal.
Because, see, here I have a theory. Everyone was surprised that Mitch played tonight. I was a little surprised. I mean, it was three handoffs. But if you listen carefully to Nagy the other day, he said, I want Mitch to go through game day, mentally prep for the game, go through the motions, dressed, the whole thing, come out the tunnel, all that before the game. Wanted him to experience that. He talks about this more after the game, which you'll hear in a second. And he did that.
Check, check, check.
So... the difference between last year and this year is it's not his first year in the system anymore. Last year, he needed to go through the... Remember writing and talking about this. The play call.
Oh, the language.
Complicated.
Yeah.
The language. Going through the huddle. The cadence at the line. All that stuff. This pre-snap things that he's doing, you could do that in practice. You don't need to see that out here in a game. So my theory is, and maybe I'll be wrong when we're in New York next week, but... I don't think he's going to play. I think Matt wanted Mitch to go through all this today at Soldier Field, where the game's going to get played on September 5th. Just kind of have that mental preparation so that he's ready to go on September 5th. And I'm not sure he's going to play against the Giants.
Well, they don't play a lot of guys then.
Right.
They played every single offensive line starter but one today.
Well, look at the guys he held out tonight. None of them have to play in the preseason. I've had to scroll down pretty far to find my tweet with all that list of guys.
You were busy today.
I know.
It's a preseason game.
Does Allen Robinson need to play in the preseason?
No. None of those guys. I didn't think...
Gabriel.
Okay. Hey, who can you... How about this? Here's a better question for you. Who else should you add to that list? You added Mitch Trubisky.
Yeah.
Do you need to see more out of Roquan Smith?
No, he's done. Dude came through the line like a train... and sacked the quarterback and was done. Was like, all right, Roquan's good.
How about your offensive line starters? Four of them played.
Yeah, Kyle Long was the only one who didn't, which is interesting. I'm good. But see, if you're going to play Mitch, then they have to play.
Absolutely. So if Mitch is out,
and honestly,
out.
Kyle should probably play if they're going to have them.
Well,
really
obviously, they have some type of maintenance program with
sure. So I would just hold them all out.
Okay.
Adam Shaheen is an interesting name who was held out tonight.
Well, I feel like that's just a precautionary.
Right. If he's 100%, yes. Do you play him in the preseason? See, I don't think...
Again, that's a guy they want to get to the regular season because they didn't get him there last year, and he was never the same.
Yeah. Well, Nagy referenced that the other day. He specifically, when he was asked about playing time in the preseason the other day, he brought up the injury to Shaheen. He brought up the injury to Leonard Floyd with his hands last year, which limited him early in the season. Which, again, goes back to my...
So you saw four defensive starters. How about these guys? Already mentioned Roquan Smith. No. Ha-ha Clinton Dix, Bilal Nichols, Danny Goldman.
No, I don't need to see any of those guys.
Okay.
What about Anthony Miller? I was surprised he played. Anthony Miller was out there with Chase Daniel tonight.
Yeah, then he was removed. Javon Wims probably played the most out of the wide receivers. Don't have the snap counts in front of me.
And Wims wasn't actually targeted as much as I thought he would be.
He had a couple catches.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't need to see these guys. Cordell Patterson's not playing. They don't want to show anything with Patterson. Nagy's got some tricks.
Tariq Cohen's not playing.
Nah. So how long until September 5th?
Almost a full calendar.
See, this
month.
Game was interesting to me. The rest of them, I don't know.
Well, back to David Montgomery. Briefly talked about it.
I think I'd be fine if he doesn't play. You can't get him hurt.
No.
You
not after today.
You saw what he can do.
Yep. Changes your offense.
Nagy said he was begging for more carries, and he's just like, I can't do it. I can't risk it.
Did you see him? Now, the running backs kind of mocked me for my question after this. I tried asking him. I'm like, you chased down that punt returner.
Yeah.
Like, why is that important to you right now? He's like, well, it's my job. What do you mean? I'm like, well, you're not going to play special teams. But you did it. That was notable to me. Who is it? Chris Godwin he chased down. Did you see that?
I did see that, yeah.
That was notable to me. It tells you a lot about who he is. Not a lot of players would have made that effort in the preseason. That's my opinion. Players who are already on the team.
He's lived up to everything that they've said about
him. Yeah, but you know what I'm saying,
yeah,
right?
Yes. Like, but that's what they've said about him. He just wants to... You put him on the field, he's going to go do his job.
Exactly.
That's whatever the job is, he's going to
And
go
you know
it.
What? Nobody else did the job in front of him.
No.
And here's your soon-to-be starting running back chasing the guy with a great angle from across the field to push him out of bounds.
Do you know who he looked like on that touchdown run?
Who are you going to say?
Le'Veon Bell. The way he stopped...
Yeah.
Behind the line... Had nothing there and quickly cut to the left to make something out of nothing.
He looks nothing like Jordan Howard, and I think that's so important.
No,
right
people
now.
Who say that are they don't know what they're looking at.
Right. Well, I'm no one saying that. I just want to stress that point. That's
well,
how much he's
going
to change the offense.
I actually saw some stuff on Twitter today that was like, he's just a slightly better version of Jordan Howard. He's not at all like Jordan Howard.
He were there.
You ever see Jordan Howard do it? A stop and cut like that to the outside.
Never.
And run away from the defense?
Never.
No. How about the tweet from Matt Forte tonight?
Yes. A lot of love.
That he was talking about, you know, you can have all the measurables in the world. Vision is the most important thing. And be able to set up your blocks. And it seems like David Montgomery can do that. All right. Let's hear from Matt Nagy. And you're going to hear why. You're going to see. See why I want to play this right now because of how it ended. All right. So here's Matt Nagy. A lot on why Trubisky played and, you know, the kicking and all that. But then there's some good stuff about Montgomery in here, too. And a question I asked him towards the end of the press conference. His answer was pretty incredible. So here's Matt Nagy after the game.
It was everything that we thought he could do. He runs hard. He runs really, really hard. He runs violent. You know, he's angry when he runs, and he's tough to bring down with that first defender. So we like that. And you can see what he could do in the pass game as well. Made some nice catches and run after the catch. And then he made a nice play on special teams too, you know, saving that return. He wanted more. That kid won't stop. But I told him he's no more. He's done.
Matt, on the touchdown one specifically, what did you see on that?
Well, you know what, Dan? You're gonna laugh a little bit, but see, when you're calling plays, you're always kind of prepping yourself for the next play. And so I just heard everybody in the background doing some oohs and ahs. And so I'd be lying if I told you I saw the whole thing. I got to see it, you know.
When he came off the field, you put your arm around him and said something. What was your message to him?
I just told him, I said, you know, there's going to be plenty more of those. You know,
did you like Alex Barrs had a nice block? Is that what have you seen in camp from him?
Well, he had a nice block. You said, oh, okay, yeah. Again, all those guys are working hard. They're put in tough spots, but they know that. You know, we tell them you have no regrets. You young guys, you get opportunities like this. It goes on tape, and everybody sees what you can do. So this is your chance. Don't leave any regrets. We're going to go back tomorrow and watch all the tape. And to me, that's the fun part. You get to really see what you have in front of you. So I hope all the guys had a bunch of good blocks.
Do you appreciate the symbolism of the 43-yard field goal?
Yeah, you could sense it. You could certainly feel it. You could sense it from everybody, all the fans. And then I looked over and I said, after the completion down the middle, and then they spotted it. And, you know, I'm so used to seeing, like, my math is really good right now. I can figure out real quick how far a field goal kick is from the spot of the ball. So, I realized it was 43, right? Am I right saying it? So, yeah. So, I mean, it's – and then Coach Rivera goes ahead and pops a timeout, too.
That wasn't
so.
Planned? You guys weren't in
control? No, it wasn't planned, but I'm kind of glad he did it.
How big was that for Elliott?
It's good. Yeah, it's big. We want these guys to make every single kick. And, you know, Eddie missed that 48-yard field goal tonight, slightly wide left. But then, you know, he did make his other shorter field goal. Elliott made his extra point. So we're going to, you know, we'll go through this thing and let them see what kind of production they show us. And this was the big stage tonight for them. It's as big as we can get it before the season starts.
What's your reaction on Eddie's miss?
Honestly, it's been the same as it's been in practice. If there's a miss here or there, I want to see is this a deal now when okay, it's going to be now another miss coming up? Or are they going to come back and bang it and get 3 points, you know? And so how is he going to recover mentally as we go? How strong are you mentally in practice coming back from that? And then the next time you get back out there. So those results, I don't know yet.
I assume you have a reason for everything you do. What with Trubisky today, what's the purpose of this day for him when he only plays?
Yeah, that's what I was just telling him earlier here, is that it's, you know, mentally preparing himself. All these guys, there was other guys that just played a few plays, and I just think it's so important for some guys, and it could be good for Mitch too. That's why I did it, was just to mentally stay prepared, pregame warm-ups, you know, before the game, when you get out there, the pat and go, getting underneath the lights, taking snaps from center, and, you know, even though it was just a couple handoffs, I feel like that, just that part is good for him.
I feel like he's on a good track right now for where we're at in the calendar.
Yeah, no doubt. I feel really good about where he's at.
Because what's the confidence?
The what?
What's your confidence rooted in?
Well, everything he's doing in practice right now. He's making great protection checks. His reads right now with where he's going with the football. Last year at this time, we were trying to figure out what plays he likes and doesn't like. And we know the library. We know what plays to call and not call. We're forcing some things. I'm telling them, hey, take this, you know, force this a little bit, see what you can do. And then, you know, that's what he's doing. And we don't want to just check down Charlie all and 7-on-7 all the time. So I tell him, throw it into double and triple coverage. Just test the throw and see if you can do it.
Matt, what did Kareth White Jr. show you late in the game? And what kind of abilities really stand out to you from what you've seen of him since bringing him?
Yeah, you can feel his speed. You know, if he gets to the edge and he bounces. And then I also like that he stuck his shoulder pads down and lowered the boom a little bit, which was good, you know, and showed that contact. So I'm glad he came back, you know, from that hamstring that he had. He came back, he fought back and got ready to go. And, you know, it's going to be a nice 3 weeks for him here coming up.
I got a chance to challenge a PI. What's your curiosity with that, just as these next few weeks
go? Sure. So, you know, in the game, if that was a regular season game, I probably wouldn't have challenged it. But why not test it out now? Those guys need to work too. I need it. They need it. Let's see where it's at. And you don't need to do it. Like the one in the end zone, again, I think that both of the calls were the right. They ended up making the right calls, which is all. That's all we want. Just make the right call and let's get it right. And if I flip myself on the other side, I thought that they made the right calls on both of them. So that's why I didn't challenge the second one. But in the preseason, I think it's just time to test it out a little bit.
So we just saw everything you see from Roquan.
Yeah. Yeah. That was good. I was good. I think it was like 5 plays he was in. I was good if it was 2 or 3. You know.
With Ian Bunting, he's kind of playing – like tonight he probably played more of an expanded role than he ever played in college. What is it that you like about what he brings to the table in your offense?
Well, I like his size. You know, he's a big kid. He's super smart. He's really smart. He has really big hands, which a lot of times when people have big hands, they're natural catchers. He's a natural pass catcher. We're testing him out in a run game. We're testing him out in pass protection. And like, and just as you said, I mean, his experience is a little bit limited at Michigan and Cal with what he's done. But this is just a really good opportunity for him to see how much can he digest in his playbook. And then when the plays come to him, when he gets a chance to make a play, does he make it? And he did a good job with that. He executed everything we asked him to do, and it was productive for him.
Matt, with Montgomery, has it been a steady progression for him, or has it been choppy for a rookie? How's it been since the day you got him in the building?
No, it's been really steady and just completely in one direction. He really hasn't. OTAs was a lot of pass games, so he got good at that. Then we get to training camp and we get to put the pads on and see mentally, playbook wise, what can he digest. I think you can see his arrows up. And you know, he wanted more carries. I would have loved to give him more carries, but you just have to be smart.
What do you think of having him play special teams while he's on the offense?
Yeah, that's, you know, I come from the Arena League, so I'm about, you know, where we can use you, we'll use you. And with even guys like Mike Davis, obviously Tariq as a returner, any place you can use these guys, as long as you're smart about it and you use them the right way, you know, that's what we'll do. And we'll be smart about it in the preseason.
It has to be reassuring, though. I mean, obviously when you draft a guy, you think he's can do all this. But with that specific position, for him to execute tonight in a live setting with real tackling.
Yeah. It did.
it didn't surprise me one bit, not at all. I wish you guys could have been in the interviews at the combine. I wish you could have been in the interviews in my office. I wish you could be in the huddle in OTAs. I wish you could see how he was last night. I mean, that's, this kid's DNA is rare. And I don't want to overblow. He's got a ways to go. I don't want to make this him the next, you know, great back in this, yeah, in this great organization. But he's heading in the right direction, and that's. But he's got great people around him, and he's just get a little bit better every day.
Are you comfortable if Mitch's next pass in the game is in September?
Yes. Yes. All right. Thank you.
All right. So that actually ended with the question we talked about earlier with Trubisky not playing until September. That was technically the last question. We discussed that. So the question right before that at the end, I asked Matt basically about the idea we were talking about earlier. Like, this dude has lived up to everything you guys have been saying. And is it reassuring to you guys know that? That you obviously draft a guy thinking all those things, but is it reassuring to see it on the field tonight? Is essentially what I asked him. And he kind of got carried away with the gushing of David Montgomery, and he caught himself. He caught himself there, and he said, all right, I don't want to overblow this, right? And he started talking, I don't want to start talking to him like he's the great, you know, one of the great backs.
Running backs, yes.
In, and then he paused, and he looked over at Jared Payton. Because he obviously knew where he was going.
There's going to be a statue of his father out here
right.
soon.
And he smiled at Jared, and he goes, in this great organization. Like, so he was, he realized he was getting carried away a little bit for a guy that has not played a single down
yes.
in regular season football. But it was an interesting exchange there, as you heard. So I wanted to at least give you the visual of what happened there. Because as we played it, you could hear him pause, and he kind of laughed. And he was looking at Jared Payton when he did that. Because he realized, all right, we've got to pump the brakes here a little bit on
yeah.
this guy.
But you could still be excited about it. Everybody should be excited about what you saw tonight.
It was.
I know
impressive.
He's not running away from Luke Kuechly, but I'm telling you.
Yeah. And it's different. Like, remember Mitch's first game when he threw all over the Broncos in the preseason?
Yeah.
Here at Soldier Field? That was different. Because they weren't really playing defense. And it's different for a running back. I mean, and you brought up earlier, it's not like the offensive line was opening up huge holes for this guy. If this tape's different than what Mitch did a couple years ago
yeah.
against the Broncos.
Yeah.
This was him using his ability, his vision, his knowledge to make his own place. That was impressive tonight.
The spin moves, the relentlessness. Talking to JP, he said there's a... How did he phrase it? There seems to be a want to punish the runner. To take out, not punish the runner, but punish the potential tacklers. He compared it to like a Willis McGahee, the nastiness that David Montgomery runs with. He's tough to bring down, man. Tough to bring down.
Yeah, it's...
And with all due respect to Jordan Howard, who was a bigger back and who was pretty tough to bring down, David Montgomery is a different animal.
And you know what? It maybe it would have been different if Luke Kuechly had been out here tonight. Sure,
I get
that's
that.
Fair.
It's
and
fine.
It needs to be thrown
that's
in the
fine.
Conversation.
That's
but
fine.
It was still.
But you know what? It would have been a lot different if Mr. Trubisky was one handing the ball off to him and Allen Robinson and Taylor Gabriel were on the field.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Let's get through some other things here on the notebook. Lower down the list. But it was interesting to me how Ian Bunting was used because I think it's pretty obvious they see something with this kid. And I don't know if it's going to work out yet or not. I thought it was an up-and-down game for him. But this, I wrote about this.
He got peanut punched.
He did. And like at first, I think I tweeted, like, okay, he lost a fumble, and that's not good. But if you watch the replay, like, he actually had that ball tucked away pretty good. That was a really good peanut punch.
I was just thinking, Matt Nagy should not be allowed to use those words together.
Ooh.
And that's a common description for that type of play now.
Now I wish I had asked him about it in the post game to see if I could have gotten him to say it. That would have been amazing. Got to start
put
all
that
over.
One on the soundboard.
Yeah, I guess so. All right. anyway, I just wanted to bring up Ian Bunting because he just kind of sum up his game. He missed a block on Brian Burns. It's a first-round pick, Brian Burns.
See, I saw that play, and Chase Daniel seemed to hesitate, like almost one of the receivers. It was supposed to be a sprint-out quick throw.
Yeah.
And then one of the I feel like Chase Daniel was looking at one of the receivers, and whoever that receiver was, maybe Javon Wims or someone in the slot, ran the wrong route.
Yeah, maybe, but you know, it's still Bunting's responsibility to make that block.
Yes,
no matter
that's
what.
Fine.
And you know, he got beat by a first round pick. Whatever. So he and Burns had two sacks tonight, by the way, which for the Panthers is very encouraging because they need an edge rusher in that 3-4 defense that they've switched to this year, and they used the number 19 overall pick on him. So that was good for the Panthers. And then Bunting also had a holding penalty later. We brought up the fumble that he got after catching the ball, peanut punched out of there, Bears recovered. So those were the three negative plays. On the other side, he did catch that ball, and later he had a huge catch from Chase Daniel right before the half.
Catches down the seam, yeah.
That was how many yards was that? I don't even have it written down here, but it was a huge catch. So he was involved. I mean, and showed the ability to catch the ball. Matt Nagy talked after the game, soft hands. So he's one of the people I wrote down as somebody to watch tonight. So I thought it was appropriate to kind of look at his game afterwards.
He was good. I thought Duke Shelley, this is what I liked about Duke Shelley tonight. Played a little bit inside, a little bit outside. But did you see him on a couple of the punt returns for the Panthers where he missed the open field tackle? But he got up immediately and chased the returner down. He did it twice in the game. Two different receivers. Rashad Ross and Godwin.
Yeah.
Missed him in the open field.
Well, so you got to make
that
tackle.
Not good. But he still got up, and he chased the guy down later in the field and made the tackle. Yes, there was a gain there, but that effort's significant. That helps you make teams. I do think he's kind of a roster lock, in a sense.
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
But that helps. Good learning experience for a young guy at this level.
Yeah. No, that's a good point. I thought Kylie Fitz kind of had a tough night.
Yeah. Rashad Coward had a tough night, man.
Yeah, that was another thing I had down here. I don't know how that experience at tackle is going. It didn't look good tonight.
I keep wanting to see more of Kylie Fitz and Isaiah Irvin.
He doesn't pop,
you need something. There's something.
You want these guys to pop in practice. I'm not seeing it. He over-pursued on a 4th-and-1 tonight. Later, he couldn't get off his block when he looked like he beat the guy and had a sack opportunity, but he couldn't.
I think in one of the Panthers' punt returns, he got sealed on the edge.
Nick Williams missed an opportunity at a sack tonight. Ted Larson had a great block on one of Montgomery's screens downfield. And Deion Bush, man, Deion Bush keeps making plays. He looks better at safety.
He's not pushing hot, Clinton Dix, though.
I mean, he got an opportunity tonight, and he looked pretty good, although the interception was gift-wrapped to him by Will Greer. And Kareth White Jr. looked good tonight, too.
Kevin Pierre-Lewis, tackle for loss.
I think he's somebody that actually has a pretty good chance to make the team.
I think it was notable that he was the first. So Kwiatkowski and Roquan Smith started at linebacker.
Mm-hmm.
One thing, notable that Kwiatkowski and that Roquan Smith called the plays. But then Kevin Pierre-Lewis is the one who came in and replaced Roquan Smith.
Well, he's a veteran.
Not Joel Eabeniwe. Did I say that right?
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe not. But Kevin Pierre-Lewis is a veteran who's also good on special teams. He's somebody you can rely on. So I wouldn't be surprised to see him make it. And then Marvin Hall should have had a touchdown. Tyler Bray underthrew him.
Yes, he did.
That was a tutty. My guy, Marvin Hall. That's all I got, really.
Okay.
That was a good amount, though, for first preseason game.
You did your work there, my friend.
I have no idea what the score was. I don't care.
I think they lost by 10.
Okay. I don't care about preseason scores at all.
Okay. They lost by 10. The score's right in front of you. You're ignoring it. Intentionally ignoring it. It's right there.
It is right in front of me. I'm not going to read it.
23-13?
That is the final score. There you go. Anything else?
That's it.
We're going to sneak in here. We'll be back this week. A couple more practices in Bourbonnais. Only one of them is open to the public.
A couple more at Halas after that.
Then there's a two at Halas, and they go to New York next week. So we'll have a
practices
podcast.
And a game coming up.
probably have a podcast Monday or Tuesday. Probably Tuesday from Hallis Hall, or, you know, we'll figure it out from there. Bourbonnais is almost over, which is hard to believe. And the Bears' first preseason game already in the books. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Hoge, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. Read us at WGNradio.com/Bears. Chicago, I almost did it. I can't believe it took this long. I almost said your previous employer.
Chicago Athletic.
Chicago
Athletic. The Athletic Chicago.
The Athletic Chicago and the Athletic app. That's kind of a big upset that it took this long for that to happen.
That's pretty good. You're like a pro.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
It's not in front of me. I'm just doing it off the top of my head.
Yeah, you're a pro.
Rate, review, podcast, all that stuff. I'm usually not a pro. That's fine. Talk to you guys next week.
See ya.
Gotta love preseason football.